From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of September. I don't know about where you are, but the sun has finally come out again. If you're rolling in the fields, congratulations. Stay safe. Oh, and take a nap during my show. Let's just put that out there right now, because that's a big part of staying safe. But before you do that, I want you to listen up, because you're going to dial in to this number, 217-244-9455. Or go maybe on your iPad or your phone to willpledge.org and make a donation in support of this agricultural programming that comes to you from the University of Illinois, Illinois Public Media, Illinois Extension. It's a good program to help you market your crop, and I know it makes a difference. If it does, right now is the perfect time to make that call, 217-244-9455. And then you can shut the combine off and listen to Wayne Nelson, because he's coming up to talk about the commodity markets, and we'll hear an update from the state statisticians and what harvest progress is like across Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. And then, of course, we'll check in with Dan O'Brien and see how things are going in Kansas as well. Before we get to the weather forecast, Don Day will be here from Day Weather on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of LM Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana now joins us. Wayne, thanks so much for being with us. I hear you've had quite a little bit of rain there in the Crawfordsville area over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, we had over 3 inches over here, Todd, and heard of a little wind with some corn going down in the north part of the county over here today. So had a couple insurance claims or possible claims reported of down corn for the wind and slow harvest aid on that today. So that's good. And make sure as they call into that, if you're going to contribute today, make sure you designate that you are watching listening to the ag programming, so we get credit for that too. So it's always a big thing of which department can raise the best money, so it keeps us going good.
Oh yeah, it is. It's kind of a race sometimes. Thanks for the reminder, because if you're online, there's a comments section, put in support of agriculture, or if you're calling, tell whoever you're talking to in support of agriculture. Thank you for reminding me of that. Speaking of calling, did you talk to Zwicker today?
I did talk to Dan. Quite a conversation here. He said basically he is still feeling that maybe we could get some today's upward move, when everything was a little bit of confirmation of the base building that he was talking about last week, a little bit being 2 weeks early, 2 to 3 weeks early, because the harvest and the year is about 2 to 3 weeks early. And a good monthly close would actually sort of set some base for what he was looking for. So Dan was very happy that what he said Thursday was coming through today this week.
Oh, maybe we'll get a giddy up from him on Thursday this week. We'll find out.
When the spurs start jingling, you know.
Yeah, well, there are lots of things that have to happen. In fact, and I haven't read a whole lot this week, other than there are some talks taking place on the sidelines with Mexico. This all has to do with trade. And that kind of needs to be finished up by the time we get to the end of the week. Otherwise, they're not going to make it, right? I don't think so.
We would sure like to have that done. We'd like to have that done before the Mexican election. And, of course, it also, so we don't have to run that back through our Congress, because that would not be the negotiating the same trade would be different. So all in all, we would very much like to see NAFTA be just a renegotiated NAFTA that goes between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., and that would be very beneficial.
Yeah, so to clarify, Congress needs to approve any new trade agreements. However, you can renegotiate the trade agreements and update them to some respect, or parts of them, and not have to have that approval, if I remember correctly, or something along those lines. And Chorus, for instance, is that way. So that's the Korean-U.S. trade agreement that the Trump administration and Secretary Perdue were crowing about this week. So that one's all done. We knew that was going to happen. On the flip side, though, China is still a big problem from the United States.
Very big. And I'll tell you, it seems like they're pushing it down the road. They're kicking the can down the road and want it till after midterm elections. So if the Congress can, the balance changes and can really put some pressure on President Trump to take off some of the pressure he's putting on them. Hopefully, we can get a few things done or get straightened out here soon on that. he does seem to be a wizard in the trading negotiation deals. So I think hopefully something big will come maybe before the midterm elections, but that's maybe more wishing and hoping than reality. But, you know, we sort of wished and hoped for a nice little rally in the beans today, and we sort of got what we wished for there for a while. It didn't hang on for sure all the way, but, you know, because basically we'd like to see an 850 close in the November beans or above that to sort of maybe feel like we were continuing to climb. But, you know, up 5.75 today in the November bean sure wasn't a bad trade, especially when we saw the crop ratings come out better yesterday than they were the week before. And the yields continue to be outstanding as the combines are rolling. The same with the corn, you know, up today. When looking at the same, the crop ratings increasing, the yields doing well. But we did hear some news that basically there's maybe going to be a 24-hour strike in Argentina, the Puerto Rosario being definitely affected by it, and, of course, the crushing margins in that in the plants going to be slowing down because of that for at least 24 hours. So that was one of the reasons that they said that maybe the markets jumped today.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us and reminding me that folks, when they call in, need to make sure they tell the people on the other end of the line that they're calling in support of agriculture. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the Farming World. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 97% of the corn crop had dented across the nation. 72% of the crop was mature. The normal five-year average there is 53%, and 16% of the crop has been harvested. The five-year average is 11%. Soybeans dropping leaves are now set at 71%, 57% the five-year average. 14% of that crop has been harvested. And the five-year average is 8%. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Another week of storms bringing heavy rainfall to much of the state left Iowa farmers just 3 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included seeding cover crops and harvesting corn, soybeans, and hay. While topsoil moisture supplies have improved in south-central Iowa, subsoil moisture levels still rated 62% short to very short. Nearly all of the corn crop has reached the dent stage or beyond, with 74% of the crop mature, just over a week ahead of average. 5% of the state's corn for grain crop has been harvested, 5 days ahead of both last year and average. Farmers in southeast Iowa lead the way with almost one-fifth of their corn for grain harvested. Moisture content of field corn being harvested was at 22%. Corn condition rated 73% good to excellent. 93% of the soybean crop was coloring, with 72% dropping leaves, 1 week ahead of average. 8% of the soybean crop has been harvested, 5 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 72% good to excellent. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was nearly complete at 97%. Pasture conditions improved slightly to 52% good to excellent. Rain and cooler temperatures have been beneficial for pasture regrowth. Feedlots will need some time to dry. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois weather conditions were warm and dry last week. Rainfall totals range from near zero to almost 1 inch, with the state average slightly under 1/2 inch of rain, which is nearly 0.4 inch below normal. Temperatures range from 8 to 10 degrees above average for the week. There was an average of 6 days suitable for fieldwork around the state last week. Producers were busy harvesting both corn and soybeans last week. Corn harvest advanced 16 points to 28% finished, compared to 10% 1 year ago and 13% for the five-year average. 85% of corn acres were rated as mature, compared to 66% normally. 17% of soybean acres were harvested as of Sunday, compared to 8% last year and 6% normally. 75% of soybean acres were dropping leaves, compared to 52% normally. In other crops, 75% of sorghum acres were mature, compared to 59% normally, and 14% of sorghum acres were harvested, compared to 10% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding everyone to be on the lookout for harvest activities and equipment as you drive in rural areas.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Much of the state received enough rainfall to delay harvest progress. There were 3.1 days suitable for field work during the week. 96% of the corn had reached the dent stage or beyond. That's 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn mature was 66%. That's 9 days ahead of average. Corn for silage harvest was at 85% complete, and that's 11 days ahead of average. Reports were received of corn being harvested for grain also. Corn crop condition was rated 78%, good to excellent. 97% of the soybean crop was turning color or beyond, with 82% dropping leaves, both 1 week ahead of average. 15% of the soybean crop was harvested, that's 4 days ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 73%, good to excellent. 82% of the dryable beans have been harvested, and that's 10 days ahead of average. Sunflower condition improved to 73%, good to excellent. Potato harvest was 69% complete, and that's 6 days ahead of average. Sugar beet harvest was 11% complete, and that's 8 days ahead of average. The sugar beet condition was rated 75%, good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 53%, good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jim Collum with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Nearly ideal weather last week allowed harvest to progress at a rapid rate, according to Greg Matley, state statistician, USDA NAS Indiana Field Office. Temperatures that were much above average, coupled with little rainfall, was conducive to harvest. Grain moisture is reported to be drier than normal at this time of the year, which aided harvest. Second crop soybeans were reported to have responded well to favorable late summer growing conditions. Last week was an excellent week for harvest. Growers continue to harvest corn, soybeans, popcorn, processing vegetables, silage, seed corn, and apples. Winter wheat was planted where time and condition allowed. Farmers continued to ready bins for storage of this year's crop and were signing up for the market facilitation program at their local Farm Service Agency office. USDA wishes all U.S. Indiana farmers a safe harvest. This concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 23rd, 2018. This is Jim Collum reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Hey, have you dialed that number? 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org with your pledge of financial support. Make sure you either write in the comments section or let them know that you're pledging in support of agricultural programming. Now on the phone line with us is Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University out in Heston, Kansas. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you are now number 5 corn state in the nation for production. So two things. How's it feel to be a corn state rather than a wheat state?
Well, we like to be both.
And how's harvest going?
Really going pretty well with it. We are in the early stages, and a lot of wet corn is going into feedlots, and we see big corn piles basically accumulating at those locations. And you know, there can be a premium. It helps people get their harvest underway, really works pretty well for us. And given what we have for a comparative advantage, again, our feedlot sector here in the West in the arid, dry areas is something that we can, quote, do without a lot of people around. So it works well for us.
And then how's basis holding up, and maybe soybean basis, too, if you've looked at that?
Well, our soybean basis, of course, along with that whole sector, is suffering. We had gotten wide in so many outstate locations, $1, $1.25. We do have a crush plant here in the eastern part of the state near the community of Emporia. But again, in a competitive market, they don't have to bid much more than enough to keep beans coming in out of other people's hands or going into storage. Really, I think what's flipped for us, Todd, is that so often in so many years, we would harvest wheat in the summer, sell it quick, make room for corn or grain sorghum, and then any soybeans that came in, we'd quick send it. You know, we'd just sell it because of the strength of the market. Well, now, given the wideness of the basis and some of the questions that we have on soybeans, really, do we now start storing soybeans and moving corn, which is a flip-flop from where we've been? So that and storage of wheat to capture the carry on the part of local elevators has really led us to a discombobulated, jumbled up a storage strategy in our on-farm or commercial sectors. Far different than where we'd been.
That's going to have a long-term impact across the whole of the Corn Belt, especially if the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas all do something similar, maybe parts of western Iowa.
It's a good question to ask. You know, are we going to be storing soybeans now? And if so, that would affect our seasonal, our post-harvest seasonal recovery that we'd hope to see. If there's a lot of beans out there, there'll be a top on that. And of course, the whole thing hinges on export movement. If we get some resolution to the China issue on the one hand, and or if the EU and other countries come in and make up the difference, I guess we'll wait and see. But the trade issues have certainly put us into a different set of decisions, putting us into a situation where we have to approach things differently in a lot of cases, especially out here in the Western Corn Belt.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That is Dan O'Brien. He's with Kansas State University. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Start dialing that number, 217-244-9455. That's 9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I hope you've dialed in already, but if not, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org to make your financial contribution in support of this agricultural programming. You know, public radio means that you are part of the process, and today's that part, right now. Don't wait. Don't make me at the end of the week be all nervous that you haven't called in yet, 217, because I will be, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org, whether you listen on the radio, on the web, you use the newsletters, you watch my Twitter account, however you get information from Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension through me, it's important that you pick up the phone and make a pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Don't wait. Do it right now. And thank you so very, very much. One of the people you hear each week here on the radio station and on the web is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and now joins us. I think we should jump right into it. Don, what's the harvest weather forecast for the Corn Belt for the next week or so?
Well, we have been wet, as we know, at times, and we are looking at, first of all, at least here in the next couple of days, a shot of some coolness coming on in from south-central Canada into the northern plain states. While the heart of the Midwest and Corn Belt should escape any freezing temperatures, it's going to be pretty cool here for the next couple of nights. Then the next round of precipitation is probably going to hold off till early next week. We do see some shower and thunderstorm activity moving into Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin as we get into Sunday night and Monday. And that could also be followed up by some more shower activity heading on in towards the middle of next week. It doesn't look as wet as it's been, but we're still looking at some opportunities, especially for the northern and northwest Corn Belt, to still get wet.
I guess it's part and parcel of the change from summer to fall.
Really is. We're seeing a very active pattern that's been, for most of the month of September, cold and stormy. Many areas of Alberta, portions of British Columbia, Manitoba, they've had, at times, record cold and snow. In fact, there are portions of Alberta, and I'm not talking the mountains, that have had already over 10 to 12 inches of snow for the month of September. And there's been a lot of activity up there, but it hasn't had an opportunity to get pushed south. But we've seen some of that push of colder weather, and another push will come into the northern plains and northern Rockies here Friday. In fact, we could see snow down to 5,000 feet in portions of Montana, Wyoming, and western South Dakota as we get to the end of the week.
One other state I'm interested in, actually two, the south central part of Iowa, north central part of Missouri, has been dry all season long, though they've gotten some precipitation. Do we have concerns going into the fall?
Well, certainly. You know, the only good thing we could say about that part of the country is that towards the tail end of the summer season, it did get more wet and get more rainy, but they're still looking at a pretty large deficit, especially in the central and west central areas of Missouri. We don't see a lot of precipitation going forward here for the next couple of weeks. They're a little bit south of the area that we're going to think is going to be the most moist. Could that overgo into next growing season and be a concern? It certainly could be.
Don Days with Day Weather. I'm Todd Gleason.